In my readings of the Stoics, I've seen a lot of amazing examples of reframing misfortune. And I think Epictetus talks about, you know, like, say you spill something on the floor, this is a small price to pay for peace of mind. And I've become, I think, quite skilled at this way of kind of transmuting setbacks, obstacles, misfortune into, you know, it could have been worse, and, you know, finding the benefit, the silver lining in it. I'm just wondering, I sometimes wonder if this could ever go too far, you know, where like every negative thing, I'm just like feeling okay about it, feeling good about it. And like, am I actually becoming blind to negative things? Or
Seneca talks about going even further than that. He's got, there's a bit in Seneca. I mean, Seneca's a terrible role model, right? I'm not saying this is what he was actually, but in the letters to Lucilius, at one point he kind of makes out that when he gets really into attending lectures of philosophy, he says he comes out of them and he's wishing for misfortune, almost like he's kind of going, bring it on. Like, he's still kind of psyched with Stoicism. He's like, yeah, like, you know, like, bring on some catastrophe so that I can deal with it, which seems a bit weird, right? But you can kind of, like, totally, if you read Stoic text and you get really into it, you can imagine, and these guys, like, attending lectures where they're, you know, you imagine if you were attending lectures by Epictetus, maybe you would walk out of it and think, yeah, bring it on, you know, I hope I get plague or something like that, like, which is crazy. But Seneca talks like that at one point. I don't know, could it go too far? I've never really seen it become a negative thing, to be honest. What you're talking about is similar to what we call in therapy decatastrophizing. It's like I have it written out. This is my reminder on my arm. I don't know if you can see that tattoo.
Oh, right, yeah.
In Greek, it says, it's a very early Stoic quote. It says, "Uden de non pepanthas," which is something that Crates, the Cynic philosopher, said to Zeno, the founder of Stoicism. It just means nothing terrible has happened to you. It's decatastrophizing. Like,
right.
Epictetus talks about one of his Stoic heroes, a guy called Agrippinus, like, who was a Stoic member of the Stoic opposition. Like, he says that this guy used to write letters to himself, like the Stoic letters of consolation, but he'd address them to himself, where he would eulogize, what they use is eulogize, like he would praise catastrophes. So if he was sent into exile, he'd be like, oh, this is a good opportunity to have a picnic in the countryside. Like, so he'd kind of turn everything into, he'd write a letter, like actually put in the hours, like he'd put the effort, he'd sit down and write a letter, kind of reframing situations to, I'm not encouraging positive thinking, by the way. Positive thinking is like a dirty word now in modern psychotherapy, because it's, we know, like, what people often mean by positive thinking is kind of avoidant, or it's narcissistic. So generally it's an avoidant or an unhealthy strategy. There's a difference between positive thinking that's kind of Pollyannaism, like not being realistic, and spotting genuine opportunities in what seems at first like a misfortune. Someone loses their job, right? But they might think, yeah, but it gives me an opportunity to start my own business. That's not self-deceptive. Maybe that's true. Like, it's just another perspective on events, right? It's a valid, a more constructive way of looking at the facts. And I think that's what the Stoics are describing. So I suppose the safeguard against it would be, yeah, it could go wrong if it lapsed into what therapists call Pollyannaism, which would be kind of positive thinking that's unrealistic or irrational. But if you can stay true to the facts of the situation but find opportunity in them, then I've never actually seen that go wrong, like, in 25 years of therapy field so far.
I hope that you enjoyed that, took some value from it. Couple of quick things. If you can leave a rating for the podcast wherever you're listening to it, that really helps new people find it. And I also love reading reviews, so let me know what you think about it. And if you want to go further and get access to all of my premium meditations and audio courses, ask me anythings, workshops, etc., consider subscribing to Stoic Handbook Premium with a free trial, either directly within Apple Podcasts or over at stoichandbook.supercast.com. It's the same thing, just two different ways to access it. And I'll see you back here for the next episode of the Stoic Handbook Podcast.